The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning of verse 31. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his words possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And as he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Powerful, powerful gospel reading. In fact, it's a beautiful reading. Look at the front cover of our worship folder and see the beautiful sunrise. It's gorgeous. And I want you to capture that image and think about a different, beautiful sunrise. It's awesome. It's as if the rays of God's grace, mercy, and love are just scattering into the darkness of the human condition. In our gospel reading, it's a beautiful sunrise. Jesus has begun his ministry, and he's going about the Judean countryside, loving, healing, and forgiving. And it's like a new era has dawned upon the world. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. And here he is. He is sharing the light of salvation. Epiphany. The light of the world has come. And he is rescuing all kinds of people from the darkness. From the darkness. And how great that darkness can be. As Luke began his gospel record of Jesus' public ministry, his hometown synagogue attenders wanted to just kill him. Darkness. And now we see how Jesus in Capernaum, preaching in a synagogue, is all of a sudden being confronted by a demon. "Have you come to destroy us?" I mean, that's always a nice thing for a pastor to hear from a group of people, someone in the crowd saying, "You just come to destroy us, haven't you?" And Jesus has to face the darkness in the congregation again. There's a lot of darkness. Epiphany. There's a lot of darkness in us. The battle is in us. But boy, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of darkness. And for us to understand just what it means to live in the light of God's love and forgiveness, we have to understand what Jesus comes to chase away. I don't know if you've been keeping score like I have, but the latest count of people arrested for sex trafficking in Atlanta for the Super Bowl is 40. I mean, there is such an ugly underbelly to the Super Bowl. Did you know that? Darkness. And what Governor Cuomo did, signing legislation to make third trimester abortions up to birth legal. Darkness. Darkness. The challenges are huge. When you think about what we're fighting over in our country. I looked up some statistics before the first service today, and in 2000 to 2002, Mexico reported the abduction of 135,000 kids for pornography, sex trafficking, and cheap labor. 2 years. And this debate on whether or not we should have a wall found this as well. Human trafficking is particularly relevant to Texans because of its close proximity to the U.S.-Mexico border, one of the most crossed international borders in the world, Texas. And its extremely diverse population, especially in Houston. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, of the more than 50,000 people annually trafficked. This is not by their own will. 50,000 from foreign countries into the United States, a quarter enter the country through Texas. 25,000 annually. Not of their own will. For pornography, sex trafficking, and cheap labor. Additionally, at any given time, Texas contains about 25% of the trafficked persons in the United States, and almost a third of the calls to the National Human Trafficking Hotline are from Texas. Darkness, darkness. There's a lot of darkness. And that's why it really is good news that we see what Jesus is doing with the rays of his love and light chasing away the darkness. There's a darkness in your life and my life that no nightlight can solve. And it's a good thing that nightlight can come to our rescue. And that's what the gospel is all about, Jesus coming to our rescue. Keep in mind, in the gospel, when we see how Jesus faces all kinds of challenges, you know, all hell's breaking loose because this is the one. If we take care of him, we get them all, the devil says, and his demons. And so during our Savior's earthly ministry, what he was facing is an epic battle. Like the spiritual Super Bowl of the Super Bowls. And it would be up to him and him alone on the field to accomplish everything necessary so that we would be saved from the darkness, that we would not be consumed by it. And that's why the gospel account of our Savior's life, his death, his resurrection, is so rich for us. I mean, that's the whole point of Epiphany. The light of our salvation is found in Jesus. The challenge is that darkness is still raging in our day and our time. And the battle, as much as the battle with the darkness is out here around us, it's also within us. Fascinating. Haven't been doing a lot of YouTube stuff lately, and then I started looking into some things. I can't believe how many crazy invitations to darkness is in my phone. I mean, just looking at rebuilding an old jack that doesn't work anymore, the 3-ton floor jack. It's amazing what you're invited to view. Darkness. Darkness. It's out there. It's also in here, and it's a battle. Remember this team? Anybody? Boy, do I date myself or what? Gumby and Pokey, huh? Well, there's a couple of teams today that are battling this afternoon for the Super Bowl. And I don't know about you, but I've been on teams where I found myself wondering, whose side is this guy on? I thought he was supposed to be on our side, but clearly the way he's doing things or she's doing things, it's not our team they're on. The challenge is for the Patriots to play as a team and the Rams to play as a team. May the best team win. The challenge in your life and my life is that as I face the challenges of darkness, not everybody on my team is for me. There is a bad actor on Team Stace. And the Bible calls it my flesh. The Bible calls it my old man, my old Adam, my sinful nature. And this is where the battle is in every one of us as we face the challenges of darkness, as we face the difficulties of this life and the invitations to get lost in the dark of fear or anger or resentment or revenge or resignation. That's the way the cookie crumbles. To that, Jesus came. It's interesting. I don't know if you know, they have kind of a famous line. It's, we have found the enemy and the enemy is us. There's an enemy in each one of us. And we must understand how Jesus has given us a victory so that we can face that conflict inside of us with his victory. And that's what Jesus did. He came to face a battle that we could not face. And he has done it. He is victorious. The darkness, it looks like it's just whipping him around. Even in our gospel reading, it just seems like, gosh, it just never got a break. But he faced the darkness. And he did it humbly and powerfully and completely. And now we have the light of his love and his grace, so that we can know for sure that no matter how the darkness wants to scare us out there, no matter how the darkness wants to take us on little trips in here, we have someone who can chase that darkness away like no one else can, our Savior Jesus. It's fascinating. He really is the superhero. He is the one who's won the ultimate Super Bowl for us, and we wear the ring by faith, trusting in what he has done for us. Because he took the field, and he's given us the victory. Although it is kind of interesting, superheroes I've been studying lately. So looking at superheroes, it's amazing how many of the protagonists, not the antagonists, are more violent than the antagonists, who are supposed to be the bad guys. But here's the truth about Jesus. He did everything in hope and peace and joy and love. Let me explain it to you this way. In our epistle reading, we heard this. Love is patient, love is kind. How about doing it this way? Oh, wrong epistle reading. Let's do it this way. Jesus bears all things. Jesus believes all things. Jesus hopes all things. Jesus endures all things. Jesus never fails. You see, the love that God has for you is Jesus. And the kind of love he has for you is 1 Corinthians 13. Jesus is patient and kind. Jesus does not envy or boast. Jesus is not arrogant or rude. Jesus is not irritable or resentful. Jesus does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Jesus rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus never fails. That's your Savior. That's your nightlight. That's the one who has come to the world to save us from the darkness. And it's still, in some ways, still a sunrise. But how wonderful it is to know he's been shining in your life and my life for a long time. And nothing can snuff him out. Nothing will. It's a beautiful picture in our gospel reading to see how Jesus rescued people. And yet there are times in your day and my day where we see how we need that rescue. And so we face the darkness fighting the good fight of faith. That's what Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. So the battle within us is called the fight of faith. And here's how Paul explains it. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put them to death. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Put them away, put them to death. How do you do that? Give them to Jesus. I've done it again, Lord. I'm angry. Done it again. I've lusted, Lord. Give them to Jesus. You see, he battled these, and he's victorious over these. Paul goes on, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We are to be a family that tells the truth with each other, shares the truth, talks honestly and openly. That's part of being light, part of being God's family. Paul goes on, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. These are the rays that can actually go from us and bless the lives of people around us. Not only do we receive the light in Christ, but we start reflecting that light in Christ, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on Jesus, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Every day, this is your life and my life. It's not an easy thing, but we do it being warmed by God's amazing grace. It's interesting, grace. Just love this passage in Titus. Titus chapter 3. Grace is training us. You and I have been in God's training camp, where God is at work, and what he's teaching us to do is really an important thing. Paul says it this way, chapter 2, verse 12, or 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, epiphany, the light of salvation. Verse 12, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So when the darkness comes a-knocking, we can just say no. When the darkness comes a-knocking, we can just say no. And we can pray for those who are helping us fight the darkness in our culture. Pray that they make decisions that serve the common good of everyone. And we can keep learning what it means in God's school to be on the field. In a sense, you're learning how to tell your old nature to sit on the bench and stay off the field in your marriage, in your parenting, in your friendships. What you're learning to do is you're learning to say no to the darkness wants to invite you into a captivity. And who wants to take those kind of trips anymore? And that's what we call the good fight of faith. And we do it understanding this. Let's read this together. Well, we'll skip those things. Let's read this together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's keep looking to the one who is the light. And let's follow him, understanding that the fight that gives us the victory has been won. And whatever we face, whatever we go through, we do so trusting in Jesus and his victory and the victory he gives to us in his love and his grace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.